sorry, folks. Here we are. I couldn't find Joe, so I had to come down to his house and see what was going on, and he is not here, so guess who's solo? Mr. Hanlon is today. Actually, I've got a call on line. I think that might be Joe. Joe, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, Joe, where are you, buddy? I'm sitting here doing a show.
What?
So
what do you mean, where am I? Where are you?
I'm sitting in your house, which I had to break into, by the way. You're welcome.
What?
And I heard the show up.
I'm at Skull Island. Where are you at?
Why are you at Skull Island?
Well, you remember we discussed this before you disappeared a week and a half ago, that we were going to do this show live from Skull Island?
Did you discuss it with me? Because I never remember having this conversation.
I left you a note.
Well, Joe, I am quite happy I missed that note because I really did not want to go to Skull Island. So, it all worked out. So, this week, as you can tell from Joe talking about Skull Island, and if you don't know, then you're an idiot. We're doing King Kong this week. Wait. We're doing the 1933 King Kong. We are not doing Peter Jackson. We are not doing Dino De La Fuentes's. We are doing the classic Marion C. Cooper King Kong. So, as usual, I'm going to start off and say, Joe, tell me the plot of King Kong, if you can remember that. I mean, you are on Island. I hope you can remember the plot of King Kong.
Hey, I'm living the plot right now. I'm seeing the natives over there across the way. They're getting ready. Their town isn't quite as decimated as the movie would have us led to believe. They've rebuilt. But, yeah, there's an island. And this treasure hunter guy, he actually makes wildlife movies. He needs to break it, get another hit. Goes to Skull Island, discovers that the Kong legend is real, and decides to capture Kong. But there's a Beauty and the Beast type of thing mixed into the King Kong. So you have the girl there that Kong is enticed by, and they bring Kong back. Wait a minute. Should I give away spoilers on this?
Made in 1933. If they have not seen it by now, I don't think they're ever going to see it, buddy. So go ahead, spoil away.
Oh, yeah, okay, so, I'll just cut right to it. Kong dies at the end. There,
yeah,
I did
there you
it.
Go. I'm going to say this, Joe. There's a rule that people have. It's called the spoiler alert rule. If it's after 2 days, it's considered okay to go ahead and tell people what the movie got going for it. But I think
2 days?
Over 80
years. Well, I think our regular listeners to... Regular listeners to our show know that we don't really abide by any spoiler rules.
No, we don't.
At all.
Here's the thing. We don't care if you enjoyed the movie. We did. That's all that matters to us.
Yeah, you got that. Yeah, so King Kong. Yeah, this has always been one of my favorite movies. How about you?
I love it. I think it's a classic of... modern cinema, and I think if you don't have King Kong, you don't have Godzilla, you don't have 28,000 Miles to the Earth, you don't have any of those great Ray Harryhausen films. This is a movie that sets it all up for us with the stop motion animation, thanks to Willis O'Brien. So yeah, this movie is, I would say it's the groundbreaker. It's a groundbreaking film. So, yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Now, I used to know this fellow in college, and he was a giant Star Wars fan. And he was such a Star Wars fan that it kind of put me off of Star Wars a little bit because he just would not shut up about Star Wars. And one of the things he would always say about Star Wars is, Star Wars started the special effects revolution. And I always thought that was odd. I was like, what are you talking about? And the movie that I would would always come to my mind when he'd make those comments would be King Kong. Because if you watch King Kong, that is a special effects revolution, like you just mentioned. And that was in 1933. Now, Star Wars did do something with special effects, but not what he was saying. It was something different. And maybe if we ever do another Star Wars show, if they ever make another Star Wars movie, maybe we'll talk about that then. But it was just always odd that he would say that.
Joe, I'm going to tell you this. I have a rule right now. When people say anything in context with the word revolution, I automatically assume they're a douchebag and I stop listening. So that's how it is. But, I mean, this, like I said, this is one of the, I'm going to use the word horror movie. It is a horror movie. It's about a giant damn ape. So horror away. But this movie is one of the most fascinating films I think ever be made to the screen, because in a strange way, it's biographical, it's a horror movie, it's a romance movie, and it's an adventure movie, all rolled into one. And I say biographical because Robert Armstrong, who plays Carl Denham, is basically Marion C. Cooper.
Oh, absolutely, yeah, because those guys... Cooper and Schoedsack, the other co-director, those guys were actually wildlife photographers, and they actually did do crazy things to get great shots of animals in the wild. So, 100%, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a weird kind of meta film almost that it's biographical in that kind of way. I will say, I guess the word I'm going to use here is the brains behind the operation for this film, though, is really Marion C. Cooper, because he was the one who came up with the initial ideal, which was he had a bizarre dream about a giant ape destroying New York City. So he woke up, and in his mind, he saw this, you know, giant ape crawling the tallest building in New York. He took that scene and then worked backwards back to the beginning and how all this came to be. I always think C. Cooper is real, and he had quite the career, Mr. Cooper. Just looking at the films he's done, I mean, he produced a lot of John Ford classic movies, like Customers, You Wore Yellow Ribbon, but this is one of the only films that he actually got behind the camera on and the reins over. And I think he did, this is a great first directing job.
I totally agree. I mean, with all of the live action and matching that with the stop motion animation, I mean, they didn't have computers back then to match this stuff. That was all meticulous, you know, record keeping and planning and matching and all of that stuff. If you ever get the chance, listeners, to watch a making of this King Kong, that is well worth it and truly a fascinating thing, especially people who are really interested in film history and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, this is a film to watch to learn from. well, it's down to just plain storytelling. I mean, it's if you look at the story is fairly simple. I mean, it's man goes to an island to shoot shoot this film, and the natives take her and basically sacrifice her to Kong. And Kong's like, I'm not eating this chick. This chick is too good to be eaten. This is something you savor. He runs off into the jungle.
Yeah, he is fascinated by her because she doesn't look anything like the natives that he has been. They've been sacrificing to him.
Yeah. And so he goes out in the woods with this lady, his woman, I guess you'd say. And she gets into some trouble with a dinosaur, so he has to whip the living hell out of these dinosaurs, because this island has brontosauruses on it, T-Rexes. This is basically Willis O'Brien doing the Walk to the World, but throwing a giant ape in it.
So you bring up the Lost World. Yeah, he did that a few years earlier, a nice Lost World with all those dinosaurs in it. So he had a nice practice run, if you will, with that type of stuff.
Which, when you look at the special effects in this movie, you've got to think that, you know, today they get on a computer, it still takes a while, but this guy took his hand, made models, and then had to move them an inch every second until he got these great scenes out of there. One of the funny things I've been reading about the movie is that the wrestling scene between King Kong and the one of the dinosaurs, Mary C. Cooper and Ernest Schadacker, is that how you pronounce it?
Schildsack.
Actually came down to the special effects.
Schildsack.
So they actually came down to the special effects set and wrestled out the scene so that the special effects people could see how the scene worked because they used to be wrestlers. I mean, this guy, Mary C. Cooper, I can't tell you what else he's done in his life, but it seems like he's just done everything. So, I mean...
It's fun to watch those scenes because Willis O'Brien was a boxer.
Yeah.
He had done some boxing. So if you watch that, you know, Kong gets a boxing stance in there and does some boxing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I think his wife was quoted as saying after watching King Kong that she saw a lot of Willis O'Brien there in King Kong because he was playing King Kong.
Right. So, I think that before we get to our commercial, let's talk about acting. And I guess the main character you have to mention is Faye Ray as Anne. Faye Ray made two other films with these two gentlemen, Cooper and... She is basically the beauty that has, at the end of the film, spoiler alert, when King Kong dies, and they said, oh, we killed King Kong, and Carl Denham says, no, it was beauty that killed the beast. And that line always makes me laugh, because I think, no, bullets killed the beast. The beauty was just the causing factor, but bullets is what did the job.
I don't know, man. Maybe that fall had something to do with it too.
Yeah, the fall. The fall had something to do with him dying. But she was the main actress in it. But of course, Robert Cooper is the show. Not Robert Cooper. I'm sorry, my mistake.
So,
Robert Armstrong is the real show stealer as Carl Denham, because in a way, and this is probably going to. And I think that's why Jack Black's character works in the new one so well, is even back then, Carl Denham was kind of a jerk. Because all he
was because he had that single-mindedness, I've got to get to that island, I've got to make this movie, and I've got to see what it is on that island.
Yeah.
And then once he saw what it was on that island, he says, I've got to have what's on that island, and I've got to take it. Off of the island.
Right. No concern about anybody else's life or anything like that. He's like, you know what? If you all die, that's cool. As long as I get what I want, this guy is good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's a... I enjoyed his performance in it.
Oh, he's great. Hey, Ray's good. We're coming up on the break, so let's get to that, and then we'll get back and we'll talk about some more King Kong. All right.
Skull Island Property Association needs you. We recently received an application for the Pretender Gamera to own a piece of property on Skull Island. That's right. Gamera is a pretender giant monster, just a wannabe. Skull Island is for real giant monsters like T-Rex, pterodons, giant snakes, and of course, King Kong. We don't care how many times Gamera says he saved Kenny, or how many children he lets ride on his so-called shell. Skull Island isn't for pretenders who hide at the bottom of the sea instead of vanquishing their foes. No way. The only thing Gamera is good for is for the main ingredient in turtle soup. Yum, yum. Skull Island Property Association, you need to sign the Skull Island Property Association petition to keep Gamera off of Skull Island today. Warning, if you sign the Skull Island Property Association petition, Gamera may send Gauss to kill you, but don't worry, Gauss couldn't kill anyone.
All right, we are back after that lovely commercial from our sponsors. So we were talking about King Kong. We didn't forget about what we were talking about during that commercial. So, Joe, what I want to ask you is, what is your scene, the scene that you find the most memorable scene in the King Kong movie? Because the movie is filled with great scenes.
Oh, that really is hard to pick out. I mean, you got the scene with him on the stage there, chained up. That's a great scene, great image. You got, of course, the first image of Kong in the movie. That's great. Even the reveal of Skull Island is awesome.
Yeah.
Too. So I guess if you're going to make me pick, I really like that scene because it's, you know, it's all misty and cloudy and gray, and it's just, that's a great scene right there. I'm going to pick that one.
My favorite scene is the theater scene, and it's for a lot of reasons. One, it's because it builds the most tension in the movie, I believe, and there's some really good little comedy moments in there. There is a shot of a couple coming into the theater, and the guy says, "This is costing me $20." Well, $20 during the Great Depression,
yeah,
that was quite a large amount of money. You could go see the Yankees for 35 cents.
Yeah.
So I love, there's that, there's comedy, there's that building tension, and I love Robert Armstrong in that scene as he's selling Kong as the ninth wonder of the world, or is it the eighth wonder of the world?
Eighth wonder of the world.
Yeah, the eighth wonder of the world, Kong! The one thing that I love about this movie is, one, no one else thought to go to Skull Island and get this monkey beside him. I love that. I love the fact that he actually, the director, Marion C. Cooper, cut a scene out of the movie, not because it was too horrific, because people were really scared to death of the scene, but he cut it out because people left the theater and they wouldn't stop talking about it in the movie theater. And he said it stops the movie flat. And you know what scene I'm talking about?
Which one?
The spider scene. There's a scene cut out where there are spiders. The boat guys are running across the bridge.
Oh.
And the bridge collapses and falls into a pit of spiders.
The spider pit scene.
Right. He cut that out because he said people wouldn't stop talking about it. And he wanted people to talk about King Kong. But they were so scared of these damn spiders that he had to cut the scene out, which I find hilarious.
Yeah, no. Yeah, it's funny to look back on movies released way back then to see what was cut out, and then today those scenes are like nothing. Nobody would think anything of them. I think one of the other movies around that time that had a scene cut out because it was, too bold or whatever for the time was Frankenstein and the little girl.
Yeah. But that scene works, though, and they got to keep it, so, you know. That scene, though, he totally cut out. He was like, I can't have this in here at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but that's his choice. It's his movie, God bless him. I have you ever seen the scene?
I'm not sure that scene survives anymore.
I would love to see that. To see that original.
Yeah, it would be cool. There's a couple of things you can see climbing up the wall that probably came from it. Mm-hmm. If you watch the movie, you can still see things climbing up a wall, but it's not. Obviously, when Peter Jackson did his remake, and we're going to go into that movie, I think, next week. We were planning on doing that tonight also, but that just didn't work out. But he actually shot that scene for his movie, and in the making of his movie, they actually went and made a stop-motion version of what they thought the Cooper King Kong spider pit scene would have been, and they shot it with stop-motion and tried their best to recreate it. And that's kind of fascinating, too.
Yeah.
So maybe the closest thing we might be able to see today is probably that.
Yeah. We'll talk more about Peter Jackson, of course, next week and how he failed. I'm sorry. I'll talk about that next week. With the 1933 version, there's a lot of interesting information about it and trivia and things like that. And, you know, we like to bring you, you know, these little tidbits to help, you know, broaden your horizons, I guess. I don't know. I just like saying them, so I don't really care about you guys. It's all about me. but there's a lot of interesting little things on here, like the fact that Marion C. Cooper and Robert Armstrong, the guy who played him basically in the movie, they died like 6 hours apart from each other, which I find fascinating.
Yeah,
That's kind of like Thomas Jefferson and John Adams dying, you know, on the same day.
Yeah.
There is an other scene that was never shot, but Marion C. Cooper's original vision for the theater scene was not a theater scene. It was actually going to be shot at Yankee Stadium. So Willis O'Brien drew a bunch of storyboards about how he thought that would look, and they decided that they should probably change it because it'd be a lot harder to do than a theater scene. Which I find fascinating. I thought that'd be a nice little scene to see, too. King Kong's war is a lion and a tiger's war combined, and they run them back slowly, you know, a little bit slower. So, I mean, there is a lot of fascinating stuff. And to show you how much of a huckster Marion C. Cooper was, the movie has an old Arabian proverb that starts it. That is not an old Arabian proverb. He wrote that, Marion C. Cooper. And he just put it on the movie. So God bless him for that. I think that that's a lot of great stuff. Now, Joe, I know that we had no plans, but I think for these last 5 minutes we have of the show, mention the 1970 version of King Kong. Because if we're going to cover it all, and honestly,
you know what we should do?
What's that?
You know what we should do? We should do a show on Matt King Kong also, because there's much that we can discuss about that King Kong too.
Yeah, but it's not. Here's the thing for you folks out there: if you've not seen the 1970 version of King Kong, it is pretty damn horrible.
I would say this about that version of King Kong right now. As far as I know, there's only, you know, there's a 33 King Kong, then there's a 76 King Kong, and then there's a 2005 King Kong, and those are like the King Kong stories. Then you have all the movies that feature King Kong. But the 33 King Kong is the best King Kong, and the 70 King Kong is the worst.
Yes. Now, let's also... Yeah, we mentioned the 76. We'll do a show, and that's fine. But there are other King Kong movies besides the three King Kong films, because let's admit, the guy's a star. He's King Kong. He's a star. He's in the other movies.
Yeah.
He was in the fabulous King Kong versus Godzilla, which...
Oh, yeah. Now, we do got to bring this up, too. This is another reason that got me thinking we should do this King Kong, is there is talk right now about making another King Kong versus Godzilla with the success of that last Godzilla movie.
Mm-hmm.
And they're working on a new Kong movie called Skull Island. So there is talk about a new one, which I'm pretty excited about, especially if they use that Godzilla. So it's kind of building up towards that. If you guys haven't seen that original King Kong versus Godzilla, you should see it, because that is a super fun movie.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I enjoy the King Kong. There's only one King Kong film I have not seen. I rode the ride at Universal, but I have never seen King Kong Lives.
Oh yeah. So have you seen you've seen King Kong Escapes and?
Yeah.
And I've you've seen Son of Kong, of course.
I've seen Mighty Joe Young. You know, I've seen all.
Mighty Joe Young.
But I have not seen the brilliant King Kong Lives, which I hear it's a pretty horrible film.
So I'm going to say this, too. You know what? I have never seen all the way through.
No, you haven't?
King Kong Lives. I've never seen it all the way through. I've seen a bit of it.
Yeah.
But I've never seen it all the way through. So you know what I think that tells me? We need to watch that and do a show on that, too.
Yeah. The only thing I've ever done with King Kong Lives is I rode that Universal ride where, you know, King Kong grabs your little train car you're on and starts shaking it. Like, oh, Godzilla. But it was who directed the 70s Godzilla. So, I don't know. It's got Linda Hamilton in it, too, which is weird. The one big difference between the 70s film and the earlier 30s film is that in the 30s film, he climbs the Empire State Building. But in the 70s version, a reason why I believe it's not going to be shown very often anymore is King Kong climbs the World Trade Center. So I think that might be the reason why you might not see that film as much as you used to. But, my God, you can get so many great versions of the original 1933 King Kong. There are some great discs out there with a lot of great documentaries on them, some commentaries. Teach you a lot about the flick. And Marion C. Cooper, who I still think is the hero of King Kong. But we're getting down to it.
Oh, absolutely.
So I'm going to... We're down to the wire, Joe. Tell us your last thoughts.
I don't know. King Kong is one of those movies that I cannot count how many times I've seen it, and I can't count how many times I'm going to see it, because I never get tired of King Kong. I seem to always find something new every time I watch it. It's an amazing movie, and I think it holds up today and can stand up against any CGI fest today, is that King Kong. Because all those CGI things today, I think you touched on it earlier, a great deal to the 33 King Kong.
Yeah. I agree with you. I think it's a masterpiece. And I also agree with the fact that those are probably your last thoughts if you're on Skull Island. I expect you to be dead soon. So that's not. But, no.
No,
I'm
sitting up in a tree here, so I think I'm pretty safe.
Yeah. Not that he's... was able to call the World Trade Center, I think, Joe, or, you know, the Empire State Building. I think he can climb a damn tree. He's an ape, all right?
That's a good point.
We got 44 seconds left, and so we'll give a little bit of a tease for next week. Next week we will be doing Peter Jackson's version of this flick, which he made, I think, 10 years ago, was it now?
Because, what's that?
I think he made this, Peter Jackson's. Virgil, how long ago did he make that, 10 years ago?
Yeah, it's 10 years old now. So, yeah, the Peter Jackson King Kong came out 10 years ago this December. So we're thinking, well, that might be a good time to do that one, too, and discuss what we thought went wrong with that.
Yeah. So, I mean, as the lady has told me, you've got 10 seconds left, so I'm going to sign off here, and we'll hear from you next week. All right. Thanks, guys.